happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell this rapture's all abroad. Happy day. Taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to Him who made. Sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day. Sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me out. I followed on, drawn to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day. Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Happy day.
Well, amen. It was a happy day when Jesus washed my sins away, February 3rd, 1991. And I hope you can say that as well. Amen. So we're going to praise the Lord tonight. It's going to be a little different, and I'm going to go through some things here that I think will be a help to us. This is a unique time that we find ourselves in. We have two people at the same time simultaneously grieving, one grieving the loss of a father, another one grieving the loss of a husband. And so we're going to look at some ways that we as a church can be a help to them and a comfort to them. Then I'm going to open it up for some discussion because I know some of you have lost someone close to you. And I'm going to ask you, what helped you get through that time of grief? What helped you get through that time of loss? And, you know, what helped you might help somebody else. And I just want to make sure that we understand that grieving is a normal part of life. It happens. There's sorrow. There's pain and death. But I'm so glad that we don't have to sorrow as others who have no hope. We have the blessed hope. But it doesn't take away the fact that we're still going to miss our loved ones down on this side. But God gives us everything that we need. And so as we go through this tonight, I'm going to ask you to think in your heart, maybe what helped you get through your time of struggle, what helped you get through your time of grief, or maybe you didn't get something that you wish you had have gotten, and you can give that encouragement as well to say, you know, this is what helped me, because these aren't the only people that are going to have a loss in their life. They're going to be somebody else. God is just, that's just the way things work when there is a sinful world and we're born sinners. The wages of sin is death. And so we're going to die if we don't get caught up in a rapture. So we don't know who next is going to go through this grieving process. But I do know this, that each one of us has the wherewithal to comfort somebody through what they go through from the loss that we had in our own lives. I've not lost a mother, but I did lose a grandfather. I lost a grandmother. I've not lost a sister or a brother. My wife lost a sister and a brother. I've not lost anyone right in my vicinity, but several of you have. I know Charmaine and Sharon have lost a father. Pastor and Mrs. White have lost their moms, and others, I'm sure, have lost someone here. So I'm going to ask you to share maybe some things just very, very quickly. What you wanted, or what could have been a blessing to you, or what did bless you. And maybe that might be an encouragement to some of our folks down the road as they go through this same process, because we want to be a help and not a hindrance. And sometimes we are trying to help, and we do end up hindering trying to help. And that's just a process, because we oftentimes don't know what people need. We don't know what to say. We don't know what's going to work. And sometimes we stick our foot in our mouth by accident, by ignorance, just because we don't know what to say. Sort of like Peter. The Bible says he wist not what to say. You know, when you don't know what to say, sometimes don't say anything at all. Just pray. Just pray. You know, say, I'm here for you. Amen. Because sometimes you don't need to say anything. Sometimes all you need is a hug. You know, sometimes all you need is a shoulder to cry on. I did that with Serge on Sunday afternoon. I just needed a shoulder to cry on. I said, Serge, come on. And me and Serge went back, and I cried on his shoulder and prayed with him. And, these are tough times. You know, whenever you have people close to you go to heaven, you're glad for them, but at the same time, you're sad for those that are left and have to go through that loss and have to go through that struggle. So maybe there's some things that you wanted to hear, or you wish you could have heard, that would have helped you. I'm going to give several things. I'm going to open it up, and, you know, and this is all for our edification, to build us up together. Collectively, so that when the next person grieves, we might have more of an idea. Because, you know, you may share something and somebody may lose someone next week, and what you say is what they need to hear. You never know. You know, and so let's take our Bibles and let's stand, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, very familiar area. Very, very familiar. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Paul here is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's trying to give them some comfort. Am I on, Brother Church? I am not on.
Am I on now?
Aha. Trying to give them some encouragement. Now, we've not lost a lot of people here at Shining Light Baptist Church, but we know we lost Isadora last year. Several years before that, we lost Jesse Dunn, Patty's husband. But other than that, we haven't really lost anyone that's really been close to the church family. But now we get two in 1 week. We get Gabby's dad on Monday. We get Bruce on Sunday. And, you know, we have to make sure that we as a church family rally around one another and support one another, especially supporting Robin, supporting Gabby in these needy times. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Everybody there say amen. Amen. And notice verse number 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now pick up with me in verse 3, and we'll read all the way down to verse number 8. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia,
that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You know, Paul begins to talk about the comfort that he received from God. And he said, you know, he was in such a bad state that he pretty much gave up all hope of living. He thought he was going to die. Notice what he says in verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul says, you know, when I was going through a really tough time, I thought I was going to die. He said, I gave up. I said, Lord, if you're going to take me, take me. He said, but then God delivered me, and God comforted me. He said, now I'm going to give you some comfort, and I want you to comfort people with the same comfort that you have gotten. Notice verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And Paul is asking them to join together and pray for him and helping him on this road and what he's doing, and give a good report of what's going on and what has happened and what messages he's gotten from them. And so he's encouraged by that. He's encouraged that he's got a second lease on life, but he wants to let them know that the comfort that God gives us is not for us, it's for other people. God comforts us so that we can give that same comfort to somebody else. We're not a reservoir to store it, but we're to give it out to someone else. Father, bless now in these next few moments that we have together tonight, Lord, that we might provide a source of consolation and comfort, Lord, and encouragement for those that may be going through a difficult time. Lord, we know Robin will face many, many different emotions over the next several hours, to days, to weeks, to months. And Lord, we don't know how long it will be, but we know it will be because you made us emotional creatures. We know Gabby will face the same gambit of emotions, Lord. And many of us have gone through those emotions when we've lost someone as well. But Lord, we want to be an encouragement. We want to strengthen. We want to build up. Lord, we want to edify the saints, Lord, and be an encouragement to the brethren. And Lord, so I pray that you use this time now to benefit us, that we as a body might be built up more in Christ Jesus and be encouraged in the faith. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your word. Now speak through us and to us the beautiful word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. One of the first things that I think that you can do and do well as a church family is to comfort someone that's going through a hard time. You say, well, preacher, what comforts somebody? Well, it's different for everybody. What comforts you may not comfort me, and what comforts me may not comfort you. And so comfort is going to be different. But we do know this. God is the God of all comfort, and God will oftentimes guide you into that which will comfort someone and which will be a benefit to someone. Notice what Paul said down in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. How much comfort? All comfort. So God gives us all comfort, who comforteth us in how many tribulations? All our tribulations. So he says, no matter what it is, God can comfort us in that trial or that tribulation. We have to bank on that and count on that, that God is the one that can do that. Then he says, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. He said, now, the same time as God comforts you when you're in your trouble, now, when you see a brother and sister in Christ struggling, you take that comfort that God gave you and you give it to them. And guess what? When they have their trouble, they're comforted. But now they see someone else. You know what they do? They take that same comfort and give it to this person over here, who, when this person gets that, they're comforted. And then when this brother or sister sees someone in trial or tribulation, guess what they do? Then they take that same comfort and go and reach out to someone else. Folks, that's what the faith is all about. It's sharing that which God has given us to be a blessing to someone else. And so Paul uses two words in here that I'm going to use. The first one is comfort. We want to make sure that as a church family, we can provide comfort to each other. And again, what comforts one may not comfort another one. You say, preacher, how can I be a comfort to someone? Ask them, how can I be a blessing? Ask them, how can I be a help? Ask them, you know, what do you need me to do? What is it that I can do to help you? And that way, you're asking them to tell you what they need. Now, granted, sometimes we don't know what we need. Hey, when I was crying back there on Serge's shoulder on Sunday, I said, Lord, I don't know what I need. I said, I really don't. I said, I just need you to dip me down in your storehouse of wisdom and give me what I need, because I really don't know what I need. And sometimes people don't know what they need. I didn't know what I needed. I said, Lord, I'm not good at this. I'm not Pastor White. He's one of the most compassionate men I know. Hey, when you lose your parent at age 10, that has an effect on you. I didn't lose anybody at age 10, so I'm not as compassionate. So when it comes to these times, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm helpless. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Lord, I need you to fill me with wisdom. And sometimes we don't know what to say. You know what we do? We pray. We pray. You ask them, what do they need? And sometimes they don't know what they need. So comfort is the first thing. But notice the second thing down there at the end of beginning of verse 6. He says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. Consolation is something else people need, is to be consoled. And he says, for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul said, you know what? This is going to help you. It's going to console you. Our comfort is going to help console you. Because the Corinthians really were, they were kind of nervous about what was going to happen to Paul. And it consoled their hearts when they found out that Paul was actually okay, that he got comfort. It consoled their hearts. Notice what it says down there in verse number 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. He said, you know what, Corinthian church, you're suffering, but guess what? You're going to be consoled, because God comforts and God consoles. That's what he does. And we're used to help each other. And that's why we're here. There's a reason why Robin's family came all the way down here. To comfort her, to console her. And there's a reason why as a church family, as a church body, we're here to comfort one another, to console one another. Amen. Gabby's going to, their funeral and things like that is on Sunday, so they're not going to be here. They're going to need comfort. They're going to need consolation. Who better to comfort? And by the way, when you look at comfort, who can best comfort someone that's lost a spouse? Someone that's lost a spouse. Who can best comfort someone that's lost a mother or father? Someone has lost a mother or father. Now, does that mean that other people can't comfort? No, it just means that this person can identify a whole lot easier because they went through it and they know the emotions. They know the gambit. So it's not saying that if you didn't go through the same thing, you can't comfort. No, it's not saying at all, because you can comfort. But everybody has a distinct way of comforting someone else and consoling. And so the best one to console someone has lost a child is someone has lost a child. You know, my wife had 3 ectopic pregnancies before we had a G2. And so she lost 3 children. And so she knows what it's like to have a child in your womb and then lose that child. She knows. She knows that. Now, I know from the father's perspective. But guess what? She can comfort someone in that respect. And so everybody that has lost someone like that can do that. Carmen lost a sister and a brother, and they were young. And so those type of people can console and comfort someone. And so those words there, notice what Jesus said over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, he says, of course, you know the words, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house, many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. What is he doing? He's giving some comfort and some consolation here. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What was Jesus trying to do here? Comfort and console. Comfort and console. They were really nervous. Their Messiah was about to go away. And they were like fish out of water without Jesus. Hey, we're like fish out of water without Jesus. Amen. And so they were afraid and scared. And they wanted to know what was going on. Jesus here is trying to comfort them and console them. You know, sometimes we need comfort. Sometimes we need consolation. Sometimes we need counsel. Proverbs 3:5-6, one of Miss Shirley's favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. And I'm sure most of us can quote that. You probably don't have to turn over there. But tremendous scripture verses. Sometimes the grieving person just needs some counsel. What do I do? Where do I go? Where do I find this? Robin, bless her heart, I was over there yesterday. She said, Pastor, how do you turn off the water in the toilet? That's Bruce's department. Amen. So I had at least enough skills to do that. Amen. I could turn that off. I found that switch underneath there. There you go, sister. That I can do. Can't do a whole lot. Amen. I thought she was going to ask me something about cars. I was going to say, you got to see Brother Wilbur on that. Amen. I'm not a car person. Amen. But you know what? She wanted some counsel. How do you do this? Why? That's Bruce's department. Hey, in the days ahead, she's going to maybe need some counsel on something else that maybe was Bruce's department. Somebody's got to be able to give her some comfort, give her some consolation, give her some counsel. Hey, I can do that. Hey, I can fix that. Your husband's not here now and he's do that. Hey, I can do that. Hey, you need help with this? I can do that. I can do that. Because why? She's going to need that help. She's going to need that help. Hey, if I go on to glory, I want y'all to help my wife. Pastor White, if you go to glory and you want somebody to help Mrs. White, amen. Hey, Brother Wilbur, if you go to glory and you want somebody to help Ms. Wilbur, amen. Hey, so if a lady is left behind, brothers, let's see if we can lend a hand. Hey, what do you need? When do you need it? How do you need it? Amen. And try to fill in the gap and help out. So sometimes they need counsel. Sometimes they need consolation. Sometimes they need comfort. Sometimes they need correction. Go to Proverbs chapter 25. And with correction, you've got to be careful when someone is grieving. Proverbs chapter 25. You can't just talk to a grieving person any old kind of way. Why? They're already grieving. They're already hurting. The dagger's already in, and sometimes trying to help, we end up hurting because we twist the dagger a little bit more. What does Proverbs 25:11 say? A word fitly spoken. What's it talking about? Spoken in the right time, spoken in the right way, spoken in the right circumstances, spoken with the right facial expressions, spoken with the right intonation, spoken just when the person needs it, because sometimes you're not ready for stuff. If you're not in Holy Spirit time, guess what? You spit something out there, man. You put a dagger in somebody's heart. And we've got to be careful. And so even in our correction, someone may need correction, but guess what? Sometimes that may not be the right time to correct. If you don't feel the Holy Spirit giving you that liberty, don't take it. You impose upon the Holy Spirit of God. And God's not obligated to bless that. You say, well, it says the blueness of a wound. Yeah, but you're not out to give somebody a black eye. And we're not out to give nobody a black eye. You know, if it's the blueness of a wound, that's one thing, amen, and God leading that. But when someone is grieving, you got to be so gentle and so careful. And I always say this, put yourself in their shoes. How would you want to be spoken to? How would you want somebody to approach you? How would you want somebody to say it to you if you had just lost a father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your child? How would you want somebody to approach you? And that's always a good rule of thumb, a good indicator. Well, you know, tough love. Well, Jesus gave out a whole lot of tough love, but it was always love first, tough second. Amen. And so let's make sure we get the order right. Not tough love, but love tough. Amen. And don't get that order wrong. So a word fitly spoken, it says, is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. So sometimes they'll need comfort, sometimes consolation, sometimes counsel, sometimes correction, sometimes just good old-fashioned compassion. Jude 22 says, and of some have compassion making a difference. Jesus's ministry was heavy on what? Compassion. Compassion. He felt what the people felt. He understood where they were at. He looked upon them as sheep not having a shepherd. And said, and he had compassion on them. Jude 22. Jude is talking about reaching people here. In the context, it's talking about reaching out and saving people from hell, amen. But we can take the principle of verse 22, and of some have compassion making a difference. Now, we're not talking about the unsaved here. We're talking about principally the saved people. Hey, you know what can make a difference in somebody's life sometimes? Compassion. Just show me that you care. You know, I came home and my wife had been home with the kids all day. I left early this morning and I hadn't been at home. And my son said, where you been all day long? Out, amen. And I came home, my wife said, oh, my tummy's hurting. I said, let me get you some Alka-Seltzer. And I put the Alka-Seltzer in, and I said, but while it's fizzing, you got to give me a hug. Well, I want to show her some compassion. She's hurting. And Kenny, that's big for me because I'm not only that way, amen. And I said, while it's fizzing, you got to give me a hug. And so we hugged all while it fizzed, amen. What? Compassion. Sometimes people just need some compassion. You ask Nia, what can we do for you? Nia wants a hug. Nia said, huggy, 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 huggy. She wants a hug. And so it's going to be different for different people. Robin likes hugs too. Amen. So compassion. Some have compassion making a difference. As a congregation, we will have to provide some comfort, some consolation, maybe some counsel, maybe some correction, maybe some compassion. But as a congregation, we can ask, how can I help? How can I be a blessing? What can I do? Let me give you some suggestions. You can ask to babysit for a while. Let Robin go out and get a break. Maybe she wants to go out and get some lady time, some me time, do her nails, do her pedicure and all that other stuff. Get her hair washed or something. You know, you want to keep the kids. Nia shaking her head. Take me, take me. You know, and so, hey, back when you got the husband back there, you can lead the kids with the husband. And he can take care of them. Put them on a trampoline. Amen. But hey, maybe you keep the kids for a while. She can go out and get some mommy time. Maybe just go and take a walk with her and just listen to her. Or maybe talk with her. And maybe she wants to talk. Maybe follow up in the days ahead. By the way, family's going to leave. Debbie's going to be going back. The other sister's going to be going back. Mom, you're staying. But, you know, the family that's visiting her is going to go away. And guess what? Some of the loneliest times is when everybody goes away, when the hustle and the bustle dies down, and when the storm calms and the lull, and it's just me now and my thoughts. And I need somebody. I need somebody to talk with me. And so maybe down the road, you may need to follow up in, you know, several days, several weeks, several months, and just to say, hey, I just want to let you know I love you. Do you need anything? You need me to cook a meal for you? You need me to wash the kids for you? Hey, you need me to come over and wash your hair for you or do your nails for you? You know, that lady stuff, you know how that is, amen? Men, you need somebody to cut your grass? Since you got grass back there? Sort of, amen? Need me to cut down, set the rocks in place, amen? Fix the trampoline. She's got a trampoline in the backyard right now. But, you know, we may have to ask what can we do to help out. And so over the next several days and months and weeks, both Gabby and Robin are going to go through some ebbs and flows, some ups and downs, some highs and some lows. It's going to be a rocky road. You know, when you're used to living with someone for such a long time and then they're gone, that brings a change. It brings a change. Yes, Carmen? Amen. So we might take a weed eater over there, weed whacker, amen, clip the weeds. So I think that these are several things that we can do. We can provide comfort, consolation, correction if needed, counsel if needed, but in the right way, compassion. As a congregation, these are things we can do. Babysit, walk with her, talk with her, listen to her, follow up in the days ahead. But let me open it up. Maybe you went through a period of grief. You lost someone close to you, and it's going to be different for everybody, but maybe you lost a brother or a sister. Maybe you lost a child. Maybe you lost a parent. Share with us. What helped you get through your grieving process? What helped you? Anybody want to share something that helped them that you know, or something that you wanted to have that you didn't have? Anybody at all? Lillian? Anybody else want to share something that maybe you wanted to hear or something that you did hear to help you out? Yes, Brother Wilbur? You say, I know what you're going through. The only way you could know what the person is going through if you are that person. There's a lot that makes up this person emotionally. So to say that you know what I'm going through is an understatement. You can say, I think I know, or, you know, I don't know what you're going through, but to say I know exactly what you're going through, you really don't, because you have to be this person to know what they're going through, because there's a lot that makes up this person. So be careful in saying that. You can say, you know, I know how it must feel, or I know how you must feel, or I can only imagine how you feel. But if you say I know exactly how you feel, you really don't. You really don't. Yeah, Charmaine. To share, because, you know, everybody's had a hurt. Everybody's lost someone. And everybody knows what it feels like to grieve. And it's not same for any two people, because no two people are alike. It's just one of those things that we have to come to grips with. But we do know that God is the God of all comfort. We do know that we don't sorrow like those which have no hope. And that is the encouragement that we have. We do have Romans 8:28. We know all things work together for good. We've got Genesis. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God's always going to do right just because it's his nature to do right. Pastor White? So comfort we can give. Consolation we can give. Counsel if necessary. Make sure your counsel is biblical. Correction, make sure your correction is Holy Spirit time, word fitly spoken. Compassion makes a difference. As a congregation, there's a lot that we can do to be here for Robin. There's a lot that we can do to be here for Gabby. There's a lot that we can do to be here for each other. Because, again, Robin and Gabby aren't the last one that's going to lose somebody. And we want to make sure that when the next person does go through this time, that we're there for them. We don't judge them. We don't rush them. We don't belittle their grief. We don't say, well, I got an answer for you, because you may not. You know, God only knows why he does what he does. That makes him God. You know, there's a reason why he does what he does. You know, there's a reason why my wife and I lost three children. There's a reason why Pastor White, Mrs. White, lost their dad at a young age. There's a reason why he waited until he took Sharon and Gary, call you Takesha because I was looking over here. Sharon and Charmaine's at 20s. You know, we don't know why God does what he does. We do know God does what's right all the time, even though sometimes we don't think it's right. I mean, be honest, we're selfish. I mean, we are. We want everybody to stay in our life, except the ones we don't want in our life, amen? But the ones we want in our life, we want to keep them forever in our life. That's just the way we are. And we've got to acknowledge that we don't see things the way God sees things, and so God takes people out of our lives when he knows it's the right time. And for us, that's not the right time oftentimes. And so as these individuals are going through that, let's make sure that we're going to be here for them to support them, but not just them, but other people. You know, someone may have a situation that they're still grieving about. You know, Sharon talked about 13 years. Somebody may be grieving a loss of a grandfather or mother or friend or brother or sister. I mean, it will strike itself up in unusual ways. So let's make sure that we're patient with each other. We don't judge each other. And we're there for each other. Don't forget, Pastor White's going to need some folks to help him when we get